from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you know, I still get chills when I hear this. I don't know about you, and I don't know how you folks feel about this, but maybe it's perhaps doing what I do. I cannot help but miss the great Rush Limbaugh every single day I crack open the microphone. Hey, everybody, it's your liberty-loving Latino, Chris Salcedo, in for Todd Starnes. I'm ashamed. I'm about ready to tell you. I got so wrapped up in yesterday, and I'm going to tell you what I was doing yesterday that got me so distracted. I neglected to mark on the anniversary of the passing of the great Rush Limbaugh yesterday, 5 years ago yesterday. I neglected to do so. And so it was just providential that I had the ability to come on the Todd Starnes Show and do this now and do it today and give the great Rush Limbaugh the honor that I believe he deserves. The man who can never be replaced, the man who saved AM Talk Radio, the man who created an entire new media, Rush Limbaugh, the man who loved country above everything except for God, and recognized God's providential hand in the creation of this country and the recognition that as we continued to give homage to the Almighty, that this country would continue to be blessed. He never lost sight of it. It was never the God hour with Rush, because he had so many other things to discuss, but it was always the underpinning, his religious beliefs, very much the underpinning of what he was about. And not to put too fine a point on this, he inspired generations of conservative talk radio, which has kept us in the fight for the salvation of this country to this day. The very idea that conservatism was not only mainstream, that conservatism and love of country was not only the right thing, an American thing to do, was not only pushed and perpetuated by Rush Limbaugh, it became fashionable among those who consider themselves to be Americans, which excludes, frankly, the Democrat Party today. So, and I wanted to play a couple of sound bites because Rush Limbaugh, so far ahead of his time, so far ahead of everybody, he let us know it. He would always tell us that he was on the cutting edge of societal evolution, and he was. When he recognized certain things about certain people who would go on to do great things, like, for example, he recognized early on the greatness that would be Charlie Kirk. Listen to this.
There was a conference. What was it? Turning Point USA. How many kids were there? And there 3,000 student activists here in, it was actually over in West Palm Beach. And this is a group that has been put together and operates under the auspices of Charlie Kirk, right? Who is a, you're going to be hearing that name if you haven't. Let me just tell you. I don't want to jinx him, but I'm just going to tell you. They brought Charlie Kirk to the golf course to meet me about a month ago. He was in town to set up this Turning Point thing, and they brought him to the golf course to meet me. It was during, we were getting ready for a 8:45 a.m. start, and they brought him out while I was getting ready to go to the range to loosen up. And I spoke with him for about a half hour, and he told me how he grew up in a home where my program was on all the time. He was just effusively complimentary to me, which I, of course, understood and told him he's very wise, his family's very wise.
Classic Rush Limbaugh. Everybody knew and loved and understood. Now, the Democrats would, of course, paint him, the leftists and the socialists and the Marxists would, of course, try to paint him as some sort of egomaniac. It wasn't at all what he was trying to say. And again, a prime example of the greatness of Rush Limbaugh giving birth to the next generation, which was represented through Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk would go on to inspire many, many more of America's youth to remember that we are the last best hope of mankind on planet Earth, the United States. Rush Limbaugh also revealing something to us that we didn't know, that so many in the biased press and so-called fake Republicans didn't want to remind us of. For some odd reason, the George W. Bush, Karl Rove, Never Trump folks didn't want to remind us of an elementary fact.
How many of you have thought, I mean, if you've thought about it, how many of you have heard or thought that James Comey was a lifelong Republican? I have. I've always thought that James Comey was a lifelong Republican. I've been told that James Comey is a lifelong Republican. Turns out not to be true. Are you aware that James Comey used to be a communist? In a 2003 interview with New York Magazine, James Comey said before voting for Jimmy Carter, 1980, he'd been a communist. He admitted, I'd moved from communist to whatever I am now. Now, we know that John Brennan, Obama's CIA director, was a communist, or at least had voted for the Communist Party.
Now, wait a minute. How do you be a communist, and then all of a sudden you're not a communist anymore? My experience, folks, once you're a commie, you're always a commie. Once you're a left-wing extremist nutbag, you're always a left-wing extremist nutbag. I hear a lot of, air quotes, Republicans defecting to the dark side. You never hear, or rarely hear, I should say. Nobody's coming to mind. I'm racking my brain all of a sudden trying to think about, well, who has said, you know what, I followed left-wing extremism for all the, I mean, maybe, I guess Candace Owens was once a left-winger and then converted over to be a conservative. I think I remember her telling that story. Maybe she's an example. Maybe as a generation, you can look at Gen Z, the most populous generation in America. They now outnumber folks, the baby boom generation. So maybe you can look at these kids who have looked at the backward thinking of leftists and Marxists and those Republicans who enable them and said, I want something different. They're turning back to God, the aforementioned Almighty. They're turning back to saying, you know what? This socialism garbage, there's got to be something better than this. But, you know, frankly, folks, did John Brennan stop being a communist? I don't think he might have said, I stopped voting communist. Okay, but do you stop being a communist thinking that collectivist thought and all-powerful government is the way to go? Judging by their conduct, I would say no, Brennan or Comey.
But I had never heard this about Comey. Now we find out that under Obama, the CIA director and the FBI director both had histories of not just flirtation, but serious immersion into communism. And like the KGB always said, no one ever leaves the KGB. Well, nobody ever leaves this way of thinking.
That's true. No, that's what Rush was saying is true. Nobody leaves. And if you do, you get a knock on the door. So, folks, Rush Limbaugh ahead of his time. Rush Limbaugh, I can't say enough about the man. I can't say enough about the legacy. We put up a tribute on all of our social media pages. If you want to visit to X, at C. Salcedo Show, at C. Salcedo Show. You want to go on Truth Social, go to at Chris Salcedo Show, at Chris Salcedo Show. All of our social media hookups are available at chrissalcedo.com. Chris Salcedo, ChrisSalcedo.com. And Rush also was talking about the invasion. Rush was very, very pointed about the cultural upheaval that the Democrats and complicit Republicans like John Cornyn and Mitch McConnell and others, how complicit they were in inundating America with a culture clash of individuals who did not revere the Constitution, did not revere this republic, did not want to see it continue on, our way of freedom, our way of choosing our leaders. They didn't want to see it continue. These America Last folks, both Republicans and Democrats. He was very pointed in this. And I have some information to pass on to you about this. Peter Schweitzer visiting at the bottom of the hour, and my latest offering on Substack, you've got to hear. Coming up on the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo. Be right back.
Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss, and it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you.
Glad you made it back, everybody. The Todd Starnes Show. You got me, Chris Salcedo, your liberty-loving Latino, sitting in today for Todd. He's got to see that guy about that thing. So he'll be back in the saddle soon enough, folks, but you got me to keep you company. This is what I do, a daily excursion into critical thinking. And when you listen to my program, folks, and normally my show's on in the morning, it's not your typical morning show. On my morning show, folks, my job, the way I see it, is to make sure that my audience is the most informed in media. And I set that's my mission every single day. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, to wit, I'm going to play an interview I had this morning with the great Peter Schweitzer. He has a new book out. You're not going to believe what he's uncovered about an enemy from outside of our borders, an enemy that we've all suspected has been our enemy, colluding with known enemies and with potential enemies within our borders, people who call themselves Americans. I'm going to share something with you folks. My Substack, Chris Salcedo's Substack, ChrisSalcedo. I put out a piece, I think this was, 2 days ago? Election 2026, leftist Democrats are showing who they are. Are you watching and listening? As early voting begins in some states, folks, and that's going to be a topic in next hour. As the early voting starts, you might want to consider this. Punishing Republicans, if you are a conservative, who have betrayed us to Democrats, and if you're one of the few Democrats out there who still love America, you might want to punish some of these leftists and extremists by getting rid of them and voting in somebody that, by your standards, would be considered moderate. It'd be an improvement if you just had voted somebody in that was pro-American. So I'm going to give an example of the kinds of Democrats we're dealing with. And as I wrote in this piece on Substack, as if leftists who now dominate the Democrat Party haven't already shown their anti-Americanism by supporting violent attacks on ICE. Those attacks range from shooting at officers to trying to kill them with cars to just generally getting physical and pushing and shoving officers the way Democrat lawmakers do. It's all an effort to protect criminal illegal aliens' imagined right to be here in the U.S. As if all this weren't enough to sour voters, you won't believe what these left-wingers, these lawless apparatchiks, these Democrats in good standing are up to now. Some enterprising AI guru mocked left-wing hypocrisy on illegal immigration while poking fun at one of the biggest purveyors of backward left-wing thought in these once United States, woke Disney. Folks, this This is a video. It looks like it's from Pixar, Disney Pixar, but it's a, it is a an indictment using their animation style.
Nobody is illegal on stolen land. Let them in. Let them in. Let them in. Let them in. Let them in.
Who in the hell is ringing my doorbell at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday?
Good afternoon, miss. You've been supporting open immigration, and we were hoping we could house Abdul and his beautiful family here for a while.
Not here.
That means leave!
White liberals!
White liberals! Disney Pixar! Woohoo! Coming to a theater near you. Now, Disney would never make that type of hypocrisy known to its audience. You know, as it turns out, this all too common example of Democrat virtue signaling and hypocrisy, it mushroomed into real life. One of these white leftist women, ugh, the worst, by the way, taped herself. Her name is Olivia Jensen, folks, and this is what she taped herself doing, confronting ICE agents. Have a listen.
This isn't where I live. That's fine. But this isn't where I live.
Do your parents still pay all your bills?
No.
Okay, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
If my parents paid all my bills.
We just want to make sure you got home.
This isn't where I live.
It's okay, Olivia. We appreciate it.
You can go talk to them.
Well,
this isn't where I live.
So if this is not where your vehicle is registered, you might want to look that up with their state.
It is, buddy. My address is correct on my ID and where my car is registered.
Okay.
Good try, though.
All right. Thanks, Olivia.
All right.
Do you feel strong or what?
We're good. Have a great day, okay?
Yeah, they walk away.
I'll keep following you, okay?
Wow.
Oh, no, she doesn't care. It's all right, no, come on.
She doesn't care?
She doesn't care.
Now you hear the conversation, folks? Those are the ICE agents saying, maybe we should tell her what we're doing and what she's trying to interfere with. And the one, I guess the supervisor says, they don't care. These Democrats don't care. They really don't care. So, but the one guy who happens to be a Latino, folks, says, well, I'm just going to go tell her. Right? Maybe this Democrat, this leftist, this Marxist will have an attack of conscience if she knows why we're doing what we're doing. Maybe this white left-wing liberal, the worst, by the way, maybe she would recognize, says the Latino officer, recognize and actually say, hey, you know what? Maybe you guys are doing a good thing by trying to get these criminal illegal aliens out of our country.
How's it feel to be a race traitor?
You know, we were trying to get a child molester, right?
No, you weren't.
Yes, we were.
How would you know?
Because it was a woman you talked to.
His wife.
And then his plate came back as murder.
Okay, so his plate, first off, she calls him a race traitor because he's a Latino who believes in enforcing the law. She calls him a, because according to white left-wing liberal women, folks, the worst. That we Latinos all love lawbreaking, and we're all criminals in their minds, right? And of course, to show they're not racist, folks, they say, well, we want to allow Latinos to break the law. So she calls a Latino U.S. ICE agent a race traitor because he doesn't allow the people that she believes are criminals, you know, Latinos, brown people, to commit crimes. Now, who's the real racist in all of this? She's confronted with this. And she admits what I've been telling you, what Todd has probably been telling you, that the purveyors of racism in America have always been and continue to be Democrats and left-wingers.
I just want to say, calling someone a race traitor.
But you guys don't care.
I hope you realize that is the most racist thing you can say as a white woman.
Of course,
and
it is.
So you know.
Whoa, she says, of course. I'm being a race traitor. Not to mention, folks. Not to mention the fact that, which, and I haven't played this for you, and I'll play it for you on the other side of the break. She actually isn't fazed by the fact they were trying to catch a child molester. Back in a minute. Chris Salcedo in for Todd Starnes on The Todd Starnes Show.
Mike Lindell and the MyPillow employees want to thank you for your great support this past year, and they're looking to make 2026 the best year yet. And as a thank you to my listeners, MyPillow is offering exclusive free shipping on your entire order at wholesale pricing. That means they're bringing back the mega sale exclusively for my listeners. For example, the classic My Pillows, normally $49.98, now marked down to only $14.98. Turn any mattress into the best mattress ever with the Made in the USA My Pillow My Mattress Topper. Save up to $100. Get a set of My Pillow Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $29.98 or the 6-pack towel set for only $34.98. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or give them a call, 800-839-8506. These offers won't last long, so call now, 800-839-8506, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS. Order now, and your entire order ships free.
Folks, welcome back. It's Todd Starnes Show, and you got me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in. You're a liberty-loving Latino. And before we were interrupted by the break, we were trying to establish what Democrats are and left-wingers are in the modern society and why we ought to not give these people power over us ever again. When we left Olivia Jensen, the quintessential leftist, she had admitted that she was a racist as a card-carrying Democrat, leftist, liberal. And then now she's about ready, after being confronted that ICE agents were after a child molester, she said this.
This isn't a good look for you.
You think I care about my look?
No, oh, no, trust me.
When you guys
It is evident by how you look, you don't care. We get that, trust me. No, that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying this, trying to be a social warrior. If you actually cared, you probably would care about the child who got raped and also the person who got murdered by the person that we were looking for. But see, you don't care.
No, I don't care because you guys try.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. You just don't care. And that is a descriptor of, at least as far as I can tell, folks, of every Democrat in this country. Kids getting diddled. As a matter of fact, there are some Democrats in this country working to make that the norm. Right? So you've got this perfect example of a modern-day Democrat, the ones who took campaign donations from Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein, those Democrats. She admits that she doesn't care about the child who was allegedly sexually molested by the illegal alien being sought by these officers, nor does she care about the pending murder charge on said illegal alien. Sadly, the same ignorance and disinformation campaign that radicalized this white Democrat woman and others in this country, folks, it doesn't stop in Minnesota. By the way, Minnesota, these individuals undertaking what I believe is a violation of 18 U.S.C. 2383, which is the Insurrection and Rebellion Act. These Democrats are guilty of that. It's also infecting our schools.
So when Florida students are confronted with videos of ICE raids, of families being torn apart, and of Americans being murdered for using their constitutional rights, they respond. They organize. They speak out, and they do what American students have always done in moments of injustice. They stand together and demand safety for their peers, their families, and themselves. And that response, while framed by some politicians as radical, is rather reasonable. It's rational, and in a moment like this, it is required.
Mm-hmm.
To any students being told that they do not have the right to speak out or walk out on their campus, I want to be clear. This is the United States of America. You do not shed your First Amendment rights when you step foot through the schoolhouse gates.
Well, okay, this know-nothing kid has every excuse, folks, to say such inane garbage. He doesn't know what he doesn't know, likely reading a prepared script for him. The adults, though, who were standing behind him in the teachers' unions, teeing him up to be cannon fodder, they have no excuses. While it's true, students don't give up their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse door, the American taxpayer, folks, not obligated to fund left-wing stupidity. As a real-world lesson to this young man, I would say, yeah, if you kids want to turn GovEd into a big protest zone, fine. Do it on your own dime, though. No more taxpayer dollars to fund you to go, because I was told that governments were lifting money out of my wallet so you could be educated. You're obviously not being educated. You just spewed so many lies about what is really going on. You're obviously missing out on the education. But if you want to go out and make and be a full-time protester, great. Do it on your own dime, kid. Not mine. Folks, I want you to check out this Substack and share it. This is what we're up against in 2026. This article on Substack, Election 2026, leftist Democrats are showing us who they are. right there on my Substack. Check it out. And all of those sound bites, you can play them for your left-wing friends and shame your left-wing friends. And this illegal immigration problem is not an accident. I spoke with Peter Schweizer this morning on my radio show. This is how it went. Listen. It's the Chris Salcedo Show. Glad you've made it, everybody. Your daily excursion into critical thinking. This is our job, not your typical morning show. Our job is to make sure this is the most informed audience in media. And I'm so excited to welcome in our next guest because information is what he does. I think, folks, I don't want to shoot too much sunshine here, but I think this man is probably the most prolific informational writer, investigative writer of our age. I'm not being rhetorical. I just think that the work he does is so good. Peter Schweizer, number one New York Times bestselling investigative journalist and president of the Government Accountability Institute, to discuss this book that is incredibly explosive, and it's in line with a series of other books that have exposed those nations that are really not operating in our best interests. The Invisible Coup: How American Elites and Foreign Powers Use Immigration as a Weapon, debuting number one on the New York Times bestselling list, and why not? Peter Schweizer, welcome back.
Chris, great to be with you, my friend. How you been?
It has been far too long since you and I have spoken. I've been fine, and it's, again, an honor to have you here. Let's talk about Mexico, because this nation, and many people in this audience would agree with you, has been dubious at best and an enemy, I would say, at worst. What did you find?
It's interesting. When we look at immigration, we kind of look at it through the lens of, you know, immigration 50, 100 years ago. But it's very different what's going on today. It's weaponized immigration. And Mexico has a totally different view on what the purpose of immigration is. Let me just read, if I could, a quote or two for you. And the reason I want to read these quotes is that it sounds so fantastical when you say it. But the first one is from a Mexican senator, Morena Party, the ruling party. He sits on the National Defense Committee, the most powerful committee. And he wrote just a couple years ago, quote, "Mexicans are in our territory, California, Nevada, Texas, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, Kansas, Oklahoma, Colorado, and Wyoming. We're going to take back the territory that was stolen from us." I could literally read dozens of quotes like that. The point is, they view mass migration as a means to extend their governmental sovereignty into the United States. And they've set up a large apparatus that includes 53 consulates around the United States. But Chris, they also have this crazy thing that they're doing. And I briefed people at the White House and Capitol Hill on this. They were not aware of it. Right now, Mexico has more than a dozen officials that live inside the United States, but serve in the Mexican parliament, in the Mexican Senate, and in their chamber of deputies. And their job is to represent Mexicans living in the United States before the Mexican government, a massive intrusion into our sovereignty. At the same time, these officials are organizing some of the anti-ICE protests, and they're meddling in our politics, trying to elect Democrats and defeat Republicans. So they have intruded into our sovereignty, and we need to do something about it.
As America's liberty-loving Latino, I would remind the senator from Mexico, the land was not stolen. You got your ass kicked in a war. You lost because you were on the wrong side of history. And back then, people who were Mexican citizens were clamoring, eager to escape your backward country back then to become Americans, as they are today. A U.S. Visa program, allegedly designed by communist China's intelligence agencies to funnel foreign money into American politics. What did you discover about this?
Yeah, Chris, this is the EB-5 visa program, where if you invest $1 million in the United States and you create a certain number of jobs, you get permanent resident status in the United States. Turns out that this program was launched in the 1990s. It was designed by a lady named Maria Tsai. Turns out she was a Chinese spy. And this visa program still exists today, Chris, and it's dominated by Chinese. Over 90% of the people that get visas this way are Chinese. And the problem is, you would think permanent resident status means they're moving here and they're going to live here. They're not. They're staying in China, but they have permanent resident status. And you're wondering, well, why would they want permanent resident status if they're not living here? The reason is, you can legally contribute to political campaigns from China if you have permanent resident status, and they're pouring tens of millions of dollars into our political campaigns. It'll come no surprise to you, of course, that that money breaks 80 to 20 Democrat Republicans. So this is another example of how they have weaponized immigration, and they're using it to undermine us.
Yes, and you know what? This is a perfect dovetail into your previous book, Blood Money, which details how malign Communist China's agenda is against taking down the United States. And I don't think it's an accident that you have bloodthirsty communists allied with, I'm sorry, Democrats. They have they're ideological cousins in their anti-Americanism and the way they see government's role in people's lives.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like the Venn diagram, right? You have the two circles that kind of overlap, and you've got that commonality in the middle. Yeah. That commonality applies here because actors like China, like the Morena government in Mexico, they want to undermine the United States. They don't like American values. And Democrats share some of those views, and they also see the political advantage to this because it does break for them. And that's the problem. I would add that China, I think, also is frightening because they are manipulating birthright citizenship on an industrial scale. That's this idea that if you are just happen to be born in the United States, you are automatically granted citizenship. China has this thing called birth tourism, where there are thousands of companies in China. You fly your pregnant wife or girlfriend to the United States. She gives birth. Their child's given citizenship instantaneously. Days later, they fly back to China, and the child is going to be raised in the People's Republic of China under the CCP. But guess what? They're going to be able to vote. When they turn 18, they're going to be able to vote from China. And the numbers are absolutely staggering. Our federal government does not keep track of this for some reason. So they will say, we don't know how many people have done this. China has done studies, the government and research institutes, and they say that every year for the past 13 years, roughly 100,000 Chinese babies have been born in the United States or in our territories like Saipan and are growing up in China. That means we're looking at 1 million, quote unquote, U.S. citizens that are being raised in China that are going to be able to vote in our elections. And that wave's going to start hitting around 2030. So this is a massive problem. The Supreme Court's going to be hearing about birthright citizenship in the upcoming session. My hope is they're going to say, wait a minute, time out. You can't just airdrop in your wife, get the citizenship, and raise your child somewhere else. That's not what the 14th Amendment means.
No, actually, it was never intended to reward illegal immigration or that kind of thing. It was designed to give the children of freed black slaves citizenship to make sure that the great sin of slavery was righted. It was never intended to undermine the safety and sovereignty of the United States. Peter Schweitzer, our guest right now, folks, the name of the book, The Invisible Coup, How American Elites and Foreign Powers Use Immigration as a Weapon. Is this what you were writing about, instant citizenship? Is it this birthright tourism, or is that a different category? Folks, you'll hear the answer to that question coming up on the other side of the break. You got the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo. Be right back.
In his new movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, Dinesh D'Souza brings the new Middle East into focus with a message of perseverance, faith, and a shared global destiny.
Could the fate of the world, of humanity itself, be somehow tied to this place?
At long last, we have peace in the Middle East.
Israel and Christians are coming together in a way they have never been before, since the Book of Acts.
But is this the end of Hamas and radical Islam? What does the Bible say?
We have to become fighters in the spirit for God. We don't accept what the enemy wants to do with our culture. We don't accept what he wants to do with the nation. If we keep fighting, we win.
Powerful, prophetic, a must-see movie based on Jonathan Cahn's international bestseller, The Dragon's Prophecy, combines history and scripture with faith, justice, and renewal. The Dragon's Prophecy, a new film by Dinesh D'Souza, now available on Amazon, YouTube, and iTunes.
Darn Show with me, Chris Salcedo. We had asked Peter Schweitzer before the break about, you know, what about this instant American business?
Number one, the Wall Street Journal had a front page story about 7-8 weeks ago about one guy, a Chinese billionaire close to the CCP, who, Chris, had more than 100 children. born in the United States this way that are being raised in China. And we found, as I point out in the book, just in Southern California, there are 107 Chinese-owned surrogacy companies that advertise these services in China. So we don't even know what the numbers are there, but you know, that's an additional huge problem here.
Good grief. And I would lay you dollars to donuts, folks. Our clueless Republican and Democrat uniparty leadership has no clue about any of this. Look, in particular, because we've seen NGOs, non-governmental organizations, making a lot of headlines because they've been taking American taxpayers' dollars and they've been using those taxpayer dollars. It came out in recent congressional testimony to fund these riots that are getting violent against the United States government enforcing immigration law, which of course is a violation, I think, of 2383, which is 18 U.S. Code 2383, which is insurrection and rebellion. But the NGOs have a far bigger scope, and you detail it in the book.
Yeah, that's right. The NGOs, when you ask them or when they report what their motives are for mass migration, it's ultimately not humanitarian. Mass migration is going to have a, quote, transformative effect on America. In other words, they want to fundamentally change America. And to the riots, one of the things I point out in the book is you've got Mexican officials that are living in the United States. One of them, a guy named Alejandro Robles, he's a senior official in the Morena Party. He lives in Ontario, California. Mm-hmm. And he went around in 2025, in his words, quote, organizing the militancy as part of the permanent resistance against Trump. These are foreign officials. The other thing he does, Chris, by the way, is you do have people that come to the country. They want to embrace the American dream. They want to become Americans. He says that Mexicans that come to the United States and embrace American values are traitors to Mexico, and that President Sheinbaum agrees with him. So this is the kind of stuff that this government apparatus of Mexico is doing in our country. I think these people need to be kicked out of the country if they're foreign officials engaging this behavior. They're also organizing these ICE riots. I would note that in St. Paul, Minnesota, for example, there is a Mexican consulate, and it has worked closely with some of these anti-ICE groups.
Folks, I have said every single time you see a Mexican flag waving in the streets of America, that is a flag of oppression. And Peter Schweitzer proving my words to be prophetic in his new book, Invisible Coup, How American Elites and Foreign Powers Use Immigration as a Weapon. Peter, last question I have for you is one I normally would ask any other author first, but because I wanted you to be able to set up the gravity of what you're outlining in this book. The takeaway from not only our elected officials and those who claim to be working in the best interest of our people, but our people themselves, what do you want them to take away from the book?
Well, I want them to take away that my parents came as immigrants. So I think immigration can be a very, very good thing, but it has to be controlled. And what we're dealing with is weaponized immigration. It's not random. It's coordinated. It's organized. It has a purpose. I believe it's the largest national security threat we face right now. We need to get a handle on this before it's too late. I'm encouraged, Chris. Before the book came out, I had a 55-minute meeting with the president in the Oval Office about the book. He had Scott Bessent and Marco Rubio there. I also met with senior officials in the Senate. I'll be testifying before the Senate. So we certainly have their attention. Now we just need to keep their focus on these issues and make sure they take action.
Peter Schweitzer, there he is, folks. The name of the book, The Invisible Coup, How American Elites and Foreign Powers Use Immigration as a Weapon. You all thought it was just to pad the election? You all thought it was so that Democrats could backfill all of the populations coming out of their states? Don't get me wrong, that's also part of it. But these NGOs who have been infiltrated by leftists around the world and in coordination with Democrats who are trading away American sovereignty, trading away your prosperity, your security for their political power. It is far deeper than many of you even consider. At bottom, it's what Rush Limbaugh was warning us about so many years ago, about the threats of illegal immigration. And the threat of illegal immigration is that it threatens to change the entire complexion of this country. turn us into something we were never intended to be, which is the agenda of the Democrat Party. Hour two of the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo, roars your way next. Primary season, folks. The voting's already starting. I'll give you some updates coming up.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade, it wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888, and over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Doing more good for the country, doing more good for my home state of Texas in 2 or 3 hours than Obama and President Otto Penn did in 16 years of their occupation of the Oval Office. You got me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in for the one, the only, Todd Starnes. Glad you made it to the program, folks. Look, I've got a lot to get into this hour because voting has begun in states like Texas. Early voting, by the way, Harmeet Dillon on Capitol Hill today. Actually, no, she was in the Supreme Court. Sorry about that. She was at the Supreme Court arguing that it's election day. It's not election week or election month. It's election day. And there should only be one election day where Americans come together and do their civic duty and vote for their elected leaders. And I wholeheartedly agree. That being said, I'm sure as heck not going to surrender to leftists and Marxists. I'm going to get out there and do some early voting, which I did. And there's a whole bunch of reasons. If I can get into the reason why I was motivated in particular to vote out rhinos, fake Republicans, real Democrats calling themselves Republicans. If I have time to get into the actual story, folks, I will, because it is probably one of the biggest political dirty tricks run by the Republican establishment this election cycle, certainly, perhaps in my lifetime. It is just disgusting what they've done. So if I can, I'll get there. With full recognition that not every one of you is from Texas, although our state is pretty dang big and it's pretty dang important. So I will tell you all about why that is, because I did sit down to an attorney general's debate, was watching it last night live as the candidates for Texas attorney general got together. I'll give you my evaluation, but the reason why it means so much to so many other states out there. And if you are not in Texas, folks, there were 12 or 13 attorneys general from other states. I think I got that right. Maybe I'm overcounting. Maybe because several of them got to ask questions in this debate. So there were a lot of other states' attorneys general. Chris Kobach was there from Kansas. Iowa's attorney general was there. And they got to ask questions because they know so goes Texas, so goes the fight against communism, socialism, extremism. And if Texas falls, it's all over. And one of the candidates actually said that last night. So at any rate, I'll get into all of this. I have an ask out for the current attorney general of the great state of Texas, Ken Paxton. And if he can, hopefully his team can get a hold of him. He's in meetings today. We'll have him here at the bottom of the hour. Meantime, I have some business to get to here on the Todd Starnes Show. A couple of books to give away. So one this hour, one next hour, folks. Turning Point, How Reagan Liberated Grenada and won the Cold War. John Bachman, our buddy John Bachman over there at Newsmax, writing this. You guys want to get a copy in your very own mitts? Please call 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. That puts you in touch with Todd Starnes Show, and we'll take caller number 5. Caller number 5 gets a copy of John Bachman's new book gratis for free. All right. Now, let's get into some other business here, because it is a big shoe to fill, the Attorney General's office in Texas. Again, because so many other states rely on what happens in the Attorney General's office in Texas, because, as you know, with the aforementioned Ken Paxton leading it, it has been very much aggressive, creative in defending us. Whereas a lot of Republicans writ large, Republican attorneys general, kind of sit back and wait for stuff to harm you. The minute left-wingers start doing bat guano crazy stuff, folks, Attorney General Ken Paxton goes to work and tries to nip it in the bud to stop it in its tracks. He sued. He told this story yesterday. I was at a campaign event. Told this story that on the third day of Beijing Biden's occupation of the Oval Office, he sued him because of, and I can't remember exactly, there was so much illegality done in President Otto Penn's occupation of the Oval Office. It's hard to keep track. But he was sued. And Ken Paxton, all the way until the last day Beijing Biden Otto Penn was in office, he sued him because Biden tried to stop all offshore drilling. Completely illegal. Completely illegal. And, of course, Ken Paxton leading the way in that charge. I'll give you another example, folks. In the 2020 election, Ken Paxton proved, and by the way, has been proven true, that states of Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin did not follow their election laws. He proved, he had the evidence. It's been subsequently proved and adjudicated. Some judge took a gavel in Michigan and in places in Georgia, and I believe Pennsylvania, too, had this, if not Wisconsin, said, yeah, you guys didn't follow your elections, your election laws. Now, let me ask you, folks, is it possible to have a free and fair election if you don't follow election laws? Meaning, what I mean is it possible to have an election where the people's will is accurately reflected and you don't follow election laws? Is it possible? And the answer is yes. I know many of you are going to go, no, no, it is possible. It is possible to conduct an election outside of the law, outside of the rules, and still have a free and fair election. However, it is equally possible that you don't. And that's what Ken Paxton came up with this idea, saying, look, we here in Texas ought not pay the price for you folks in Michigan being crooked and not following your election laws. Jocelyn Benson did not follow election laws. It's been adjudicated. It's been ruled on. Everybody knows it. Same thing with Brad Raffensperger in Georgia. Brian Kemp's Georgia didn't follow the law. Thus, people in Texas said we shouldn't be paying the price with the occupation of the Oval Office of Beijing Biden, Barack Hussein Obama's third term, the reign of President Otto Penn. We ought not be burdened. Ken Paxton came up with that. Went to the Supreme Court, and you know why it didn't go anywhere, folks? Because of the coward, George W. Bush's contribution to this country, the Supreme Court Chief Justice, John Roberts, said, states, we don't have time. We don't have time, because he couldn't say that states don't have standing to sue other states. There's only one court in the nation that handles one state suing another. We call it the United States Supreme Court. So we couldn't go there, oh, we just don't have time. You know, the old legal standard of, we don't have time to enforce the law. We don't have time to enforce the law, said John Roberts. And this country paid a massively steep price for it. I will never forgive John Roberts. Sorry, I'll never forget. I might find it in my heart to forgive if we can ever get out from under the whole he and Beijing Biden and Barack Obama and the Democrat Party and complicit Republicans put us in. I might be able to forgive if America can get out from under the burden they've placed us under. But I'll never forget. George W. Bush appointee, Chief Justice John Roberts. God help us all. So anyway, I'm watching this debate last night. The candidates are sitting Congressman Chip Roy, Aaron Reitz, who has been endorsed by the Attorney General Ken Paxton as his successor, Joan Huffman, who's a state senator, and Mays Middleton, who's a state senator. And I got to give you an honest evaluation, kids. We found out some things. Mays Middleton, nice guy, doesn't have that bulldog persona that we would need to defend our people. And again, it's not just Texas. With Texas suing, a lot of the other states are beneficiaries as they join lawsuits led by Texas, right? The biggest law firm in America, outside of a regular law firm, is the Attorney General's Office of Texas. So anywho, Mays Middleton, again, nice guy, but not the bulldog we need. We found out that Joan Huffman, the senator, is actually a Democrat. So that leaves Chip Roy of the Freedom Caucus in the Texas House of Representatives and Aaron Reitz, who turned in Aaron Reitz put in a phenomenal performance. And I think Chip Roy was also there getting his licks in as well. Just evaluating their performance last night, folks. For those of you in the great state of Texas, a lot of you were introduced for the first time to Aaron Reitz. The reason why I'm saying these names, folks, to you folks around the rest of the country, you might be hearing from them a lot, depending on who you get in there. If you get in Joan Huffman, the Democrat, you're not going to be hearing Texas at all. You won't. This woman has never litigated anything. She's never litigated. She's got a law degree. She's never litigated anything. So the idea that she's going to take it to Democrats and defend us is absurd. There is no way Joan Huffman is going to defend me and mine or you and yours out there if you're in Texas. Nor is she going to be the responsible party to defending the rest of the states out there from left-wing onslaughts. Mays Middleton, guy's heart's in the right place. I just don't think he's got the right stuff. And so I think it's going to come down, in my opinion, to Reitz and to Chip Roy, who do show the fire, who do show the passion and compassion for their own voters and defending us from left-wing extremists. Now, folks, as people are voting all over the country in primaries, maybe some people aren't voting yet in primaries. We just started early voting in Texas, but some people are already beginning this process. I want to let you know how important it is by something that's transpired here. And you guys smell that? That smell is the smell of torches. And you see those pointy things in the corner? Those are pitchforks. So the pitchforks and torches are out in the primary season for ineffective left-wing Republicans who no longer belong in government because they refuse to do what? Defend me and mine and you and yours from this left-wing onslaught. I'm going to give you an example of how one of these rhinos, fake Republicans, whatever you want to call them, has figuratively set his campaign on fire, my friends. And I'll also let you know about another rhino who is dealing with a fire that was incredibly tragic that is tied directly to his office, and it could cost him his reelection. Back in a minute. Todd Starnes Show. Chris Salcedo sitting in. Be right back.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade. It wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888. And over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%, while inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
Welcome back, folks. You got the Chris Salcedo Show filling in for the Todd Starnes Show. And let's get out of the phones because Sherry is in Gainesville, Georgia. She's listening on WDUN, and she is the winner of the John Bachman book, the first one we're giving away today. Hey, Sherry, welcome.
Thank you.
Nice, nimble fingers dialing in at a brisk pace. You were calling number five. So so glad to give you the book. Look, I've got to just pick your brain really quickly. You guys have some serious rhino problems there in Georgia with Raffensperger and Kemp and their little network over there. How is that all playing out in your state?
I have no idea, but I don't vote for them. I hadn't voted for them. I wrote me and my husband in instead of voting for them.
That a girl. Yeah, you know, I think you and your husband would be probably more qualified than these two gentlemen for running the state. Well, hey, look, congratulations on the book. I hope you enjoy it. Read it in good health and appreciate you listening to the Todd Starnes Show.
Reagan, so yes? Yeah, I loved him. He was a good president.
Right on, right on. Sherry, thanks for listening to the Todd Starnes Show. Appreciate it. Folks, I did make a connection with the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. He'll be on to give you a brief update on not only his race, but also some breaking news today. He's suing a hospital that, against Texas law, is still conducting child abuse against children. As you all know, these gender reassignment surgeries, we consider that, in Texas anyway, child abuse. The suicide rate from individuals who undergo this procedure, notwithstanding, it's barbarism. Putting a child through this, hacking up their body, and these irreversible damages being done to our children's psyche and to their bodies. It is nothing short of child abuse. And we've outlawed it in Texas. So he'll be on to talk about that, the state of the race. And I promised you folks an update on just some things going on. And there are probably similar things going on in your state with these fake Republicans. I've got to mention first, Tony Gonzalez, who is a fake Republican, who is running for re-election. However, he just lost an endorsement of a left-wing newspaper, the San Antonio Express. The San Antonio Express has withdrawn because, as you know, folks, the left-wing press, their favorite type of Republican is an ineffective Republican that finds the nearest Democrat butt cheek on which to firmly plant their lips. So Mr. Gonzalez has lost this because it has come out, he lost the endorsement because it has come out that a former staffer of hers had an affair, his had an affair with him. Her name was Regina Santos Aviles. And folks, she tragically set herself on fire. And the Gonzalez campaign refuses to talk about this. But it's been revealed now through private text messages, and his campaign is collapsing, and Brandon Herrera, an actual conservative, is actually picking up a lot of steam as this fake Republican goes down in flames. So too is Senator John Cornyn from the great state of Texas. All of you know John Cornyn because he has been, along with Mitch McConnell, saying he will not back the SAVE Act. Mitch McConnell says he doesn't care what his voters say, doesn't care about his country. He wants to preserve Democrats' ability to cheat, so he's opposed to the SAVE Act, my friends. Voting integrity, Mitch McConnell, Kentucky. Great job, Kentucky, by the way. And so somebody who's a carbon copy of this man is John Cornyn. John Cornyn last week attacked me, your liberty-loving Latino, accusing me of getting paid by the Paxton campaign, false accusation. Then last week, he attacked one of his primary opponents, a black congressman, a conservative black congressman by the name of Wesley Hunt, by doxing him, according to legal experts, by putting out his private information online. And in an era, folks, where President Trump has endured two attempts on his life, where Charlie Kirk is now dead because of this kind of thing, the fact that a sitting senator's campaign would put out something like this is baffling. Yesterday, Wesley Hunt, Wesley Hunt filed a police report on John Cornyn's staffer. My understanding is that John Cornyn retweeted what his staffer put out. This is just bad news, folks, and a sign of desperation that left-wingers who call themselves Republicans don't want those pitchforks and torches coming for them. I'm afraid it's happening. Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, next on the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo. Stick around. Folks, welcome back. You got the Todd Starnes Show. It's me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in. Telephone number, you want to weigh in on anything we're talking about, 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. As we are awaiting the Attorney General of the great state of Texas, I just want to remind you folks that this kerfuffle going on at CBS, between CBS and Stephen Colbert, it's a lie, folks. It's all a lie. Colbert and a state representative by the name of Tallarico, James Tallarico, they're just up and up lying, and a sitting U.S. senator joined in the lie. I'll expose all of it with the help, believe it or not, of Jasmine Crockett, the loudmouth Texas representative who's also running for Senate. You know who else is running for Senate? Ken Paxton, the current Attorney General of the great state of Texas, conservative and most effective Attorney General in the United States. Sir, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo.
Hey, so good to be on with you. I hope you're having a great day.
Right back at you, sir. It was great hanging out with you last night and speaking at one of your events. Look, I've got to ask you about the breaking news. The state of Texas is taking seriously what we have classified as child abuse against children and these gender reassignment surgeries. Tell us what you've done.
So we just filed a lawsuit against a children's hospital in Texas that has, I think it's the seventh largest pediatric hospital in the country, for violating our current laws, which do not allow hospitals and doctors to transition children, and then bill the state of Texas for it. Well, this hospital and this doctor were absolutely doing that, so we've sued them. And I think it's the first case like this, actually suing a hospital for violating our state laws.
When I was on television, my team and I, we did some analysis on exactly how much these transition surgeries cost, not only padding the pockets of these unethical surgeons, right, but also that the lifetime of hormones that Big Pharma gets, turning our children into piggy banks and literally destroying their lives. You and I both know about the suicide rates among these individuals who undergo these so-called transition surgeries. It's really seedy and underhanded, is it not?
It's pretty sad. It's hard to believe that this actually is happening in our country. These are children. Their brains are not fully developed. They're having decisions made for them by doctors and hospitals that are life altering and cannot be undone in many cases, and have a severe detrimental effect on their future. So I mean, it's shocking to me that we're even discussing this. But what kind of people do this to children? It's shocking.
It is. And again, for dollar signs, who would ruin a child's life for cash? And shame on Big Pharma and shame on these unethical surgeons. I know some surgeons refuse to do these surgeries, and kudos to them. We're talking to Ken Paxton, folks, the Attorney General, the conservative Attorney General of the great state of Texas, who has a huge track record of defending our people, not only within the confines of the state of Texas, folks, but a lot of the cases that have thwarted leftists throughout the country in the last decade or so have been coming out of Texas's Attorney General's office. You and I attended an AG debate last night in Texas, and not even I realized the importance of the Texas Attorney General's office to the rest of the country. You've been in this fight. You've been in the trenches. Tell the folks out there who may not be residing in Texas just how important the Texas AG's office is.
We are the largest Republican office. We lead many of the major lawsuits, whether it's against the Biden administration, the Obama administration. But we lead on issues all over the country, and whether it's like the one we just talked about, transitioning of children, whether it's life, whatever it is, Texas tends to be a leader, and other states follow. And so that's why you had a lot of other attorney generals coming in from other states last night to view the debate among the four candidates for Texas Attorney General, because they realize that the right person has to be picked by the voters, and that right person will end up being a leader for their attorney generals in their state.
Yeah, it is so important, not only to the state of Texas, folks, but to the unified opposition to communists, to socialists, to leftists who now dominate the Democrat Party. And as many of you in left-wing blue states have been treated to, and some, like Georgia, have been treated to, you know that these individuals who are left-leaning, whether they call themselves Republicans or Democrats, they are coming after you, and they have no problem bastardizing the law to do it. So, Mr. Attorney General, I do want to talk to you about the campaign, but in kind of a different way, because I want you to keep your attorney's general hat on for me, okay? I don't want you to get into campaign mode. I just want you to give me your legal evaluation, because yesterday, I know your campaign knows this, that Wesley Hunt's campaign has filed a police report on Senator John Cornyn's staffer, who, according to legal analysis from a lot of people out there, doxed a sitting congressman. First off, give me your evaluation of how does this process work? And that, by the way, the doxing laws as it applies in Texas, and then how this process is going to play out.
Yeah, so Wesley files a charge where he filed it. They have an obligation to investigate, and the law requires that you show intent to harm the family or him. So you got to show some type of intent. So that's obviously sometimes a challenge, but you know, clearly whether they can demonstrate or prove a crime doesn't make it right to put out information like the Cornyn campaign put out on Congressman Hunt. Yeah, I think it's inappropriate. It puts his family at risk. It puts him at risk. You know, putting out his home address and his other information about his Social Security and driver's license, it's a real problem.
It is a real problem, in particular because of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the two assassination attempts on President Trump, the rise of left-wing hate in this country and left-wing violence as our ICE officers are getting shot at, getting run over by what I would call seditious individuals. Individuals who are undertaking an insurrection against the United States. So that's why I think you've done an adequate job of articulating why it's important. So your evaluation, you saw the documents that the Cornyn campaign put out. And again, this is a campaign, so they did so with intent to damage his campaign by putting this stuff out. And so I think that intent in this particular framework might be easy to prove because we're in the middle of a primary season, right? But again, you've seen the documents. Do you think that meets the legal threshold in your professional opinion?
Yeah, it looks like it to me. I mean, it'd be hard for them to say they weren't trying to harm him. They were trying to harm him. And whether they wanted somebody to, you know, hopefully they didn't want somebody to show up at his house and harm his family, but the fact that they were trying to harm him by putting that information out, I think is pretty clear that they were trying to harm him. That'll be up to, you know, the people investigating and then ultimately a district attorney in that county. But in my opinion, what they did meets the threshold of violating state law. And I'm shocked, actually, that John Cornyn hasn't fired the guy, and he's actually backed him up and criticized Wesley Hunt.
Yes, yes, and double down. As a matter of fact, you took me right where I to go. I was going to get into this after I had visited with you because I didn't want to drag you into the slime that is the John Cornyn campaign. But last night, folks, John Cornyn said of Wesley Hunt that he was dumb, and this focus on the law, the breaches of law undertaken allegedly by the Cornyn campaign are a, quote, distraction. Mr. Attorney General, can you conceive of a time when breaches of law are a quote, distraction?
Well, no, and it's not shocking that John Cornyn doesn't think much about the law. He was on the Texas Supreme Court, and he was quick to judge President Trump's guilt and quick to judge my guilt, and without knowing any facts or evidence. He doesn't seem much interested in what the law actually it is. He's more interested in the politics of it, and in this case, clearly more interested in the politics than absolutely doing the right thing, which he's not doing in this case.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, Attorney General Ken Paxton from the great state of Texas is our guest right now, folks. He's running for United States Senate. The last question I do have for you is about the campaign. The polling shows you in first place in a three-way contest. As we've articulated, it seems that Senator Cornyn smells the torches and sees the pitchforks coming for him. We talked about before I brought you on how Senator Mitch McConnell, a carbon copy of John Cornyn, has come out and said he opposes the SAVE Act, voting integrity. I can't believe he's actually coming out and saying it. How do you see the choice in the primary as the people in the Republican Party are being confronted with voting for actual conservatives as opposed to those who have worked with Democrats to sell us out for so many years?
Look, I think the contrast couldn't be more stark. John Cornyn has been playing the Washington game with Mitch McConnell and others like him for a long time and hasn't represented Texas. If you think about his career, he's been in office for over 40 years since I was in college and I'm 63.
Wow.
What has he accomplished? No one can give me that answer. He has no accomplishments for good. He has accomplishments, but they're not good. I mean, helping Joe Biden restrict Second Amendment rights, helping Joe Biden bring Afghan refugees over here for settlement without vetting them, fighting John Cornyn fought the president on the border wall. He fought the president on reelection, and he fought the president's first election. This guy has been part of the massive budget spending since he's been there, from $6.2 trillion deficit when he got there to $38 trillion now. His accomplishments are very negative for the country, and there's no reason that a state like Texas should reelect a guy that has done nothing good for us and only things that are bad that would be, you know, lauded by Joe Biden, which they were.
Yeah. Speaking of negative, that's what he's done. His entire campaign has gone negative, and that tells me he has nothing to run on. As you mentioned, he has been a backbencher to a lot of other high-profile Republicans, relied on being a stooge for them his entire career, and really has nothing. He has a lot of accomplishments for those he's loyal to. It just, the sad thing is, it's just we the people. he's not loyal to us. He's loyal to some other special interests out there, and that's the issue. If folks want to get in touch with your campaign, Mr. Attorney General, where can they go?
KenPaxton.com. You want to donate? We need all the help because he's obviously got a lot of money coming from D.C. And then at KenPaxtonTX for Facebook and Twitter.
All right. Attorney General Ken Paxton, appreciate the visit here on the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Telephone number is 281. I'm sorry, 281. I was going to give my phone number, folks, for my show. Telephone number is 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. You got the Todd Starnes Show. Me, Chris Salcedo. Be right back with Jasmine Crockett confirming that Stephen Colbert and Democrats are liars. Back in a minute. For those of you who mark the occasion, it is the beginning of Lent today. It is Ash Wednesday. It's, man, I've had a heck of a day. At some point, I've got 3 more hours of media to put in today. And here I thought when I left television that I'd have more time on my hands. I still got 3 more hours to do, after the last hour of the Todd Starnes Show here. And then I got to figure out a time to get to Mass for Ash Wednesday. So anyway, for those of you who mark Ash Wednesday, I know You're probably driving or you're probably listening to the radio going, no, I almost forgot. Now I have no excuse. You're going to have to go. Going to have to go. So, again, this is the beginning of the Easter season. And those of you who are Christians, we are an Easter people, are we not? Telephone number for the Todd Starn Show, 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. You got me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in for Todd today, and something transpired. I guess this came down, what, Monday? You had this guy, Colbert, this fake comedian, this real leftist, but a fake comedian. He's leaving CBS. His show is being canceled, so the guy figures, what the heck? He's going to have James Tallarico, who is a fake Christian from Texas, on his show. He's running in a Senate primary against Jasmine Crockett to be the Democrats' nominee to go up against whoever the Republicans select in Texas, right? So Colbert wants to have this fake Christian, this guy who claims his faith but supports abortion on demand. And I'm sorry, folks, you cannot be a Christian and support abortion. You just can't be. It's impossible. It's like you can't be a modern-day Democrat and be an American. You can't do it. You can't be a socialist or a communist and be American. They are at odds with one another. You can't be a cheerleader for abortion and call yourself a Christian. It's just not happening. That's what James Tallarico is. He claims to be a Christian, but not really. So what Colbert does is he shows up on his show and pretends that CBS lawyers prevented him from actually airing this segment between him and James Tallarico. But that's not what happened. What happened is James Tallarico did the segment. The lawyer said, remember, we're in this, I believe, folks, it's 60 days. I think that's what the law says. 60 days in a campaign, and you've got to offer equal time to candidates. So that would require the Colbert show to offer to Jasmine Crockett equal time. She is running against James Tallarico. But it seems Stephen Colbert didn't want to offer Jasmine Crockett equal time. He just wanted to talk to the white fake Christian and not the black lunatic leftist, Jasmine Crockett, right? So he manufactures this whole grand conspiracy and accusing the Trump FCC of getting involved. They had no idea any of this was happening. This was all CBS lawyers. And CBS lawyers said, we didn't tell him he couldn't do the segment. We told him that he would be opening up the door for a problem if he didn't offer equal time, right? Or that if Jasmine Crockett comes knocking, you've got to provide the equal time. Like John Cornyn, or Wesley Hunt, if they wanted to provide, or you know, because I talked to Ken Paxton, what, 2 minutes? 2 minutes about the campaign? If John Cornyn wanted to come on, and of course John Cornyn doesn't want anything to do with me. Remember, he attacked me. But he's more than welcome. I would love to ask John Cornyn some questions. Or if Wesley Hunt, his campaign, demands some equal time, sure. No problem. We conservatives are an open book and we obey the law. But it turns out Stephen Colbert didn't want to. And Jasmine Crockett confirmed, by the way, James Tallarico tweeting about this, Senator Chris Murphy lied about this, blaming the FCC, the Trump FCC. It's all a lie, and Jasmine Crockett confirming Democrats are liars.
Not fully in a wedding on a segment. I have done Colbert a number of times.
What?
If you pay attention, I've done Colbert a number of times, I've done The View a number of times, I've done Kimmel a number of times.
Oh.
I've done all these shows a number of times.
Uh-huh.
We did receive information suggesting that the federal government did not shut down this segment.
Oh, one. Wait a minute. The government didn't shut it down? More from Jasmine Crockett. Third hour of the Todd Starn Show with me, Chris Salcedo, coming up. Be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Coming to you from Texas via Liberty University, your liberty-loving Latino, Chris Salcedo, sitting in for Todd Starnes. Middle of the week, hump day, all downhill, folks. Ash Wednesday, all downhill into the weekend. Hope you start off this Lenten season in a blessed way. As a matter of fact, I want to bless you if I can. And it's, I wish I could take credit for this, but this is all the Todd Starnes Show. They have some books to give away. And our old buddy John Bachman over there at Newsmax, Turning Point, How Reagan Liberated Grenada and Won the Cold War. That book could be yours. Caller number, let's make it interesting. Caller number 7. If you are caller number 7 right now, you can get your hands on a copy of this book. Telephone number is 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. Put you in touch with the lovely and courteous staff of the Todd Starnes Show, who will studiously go through all the phone lines and get to number 7, and hopefully it is you who wins. Now, while that's happening, I want to bring on the aforementioned Todd Starnes. Speaking of Ash Wednesday, speaking of things in articles of faith, he is at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. The NRB, I told you he was seeing a guy about a thing. You just didn't know it was like the big guy, right? The big guy about that thing. Here is Todd Starnes, who joins us live here at the top of the hour. Hey, my man.
Yeah, the problem was, Sasota, you're not supposed to be talking about the thing that the guy's got for me, but the thing we're talking about is. That's on the down low, the hush-hush.
Sorry. The DL, that's right, exactly, as the kids say these days.
That right. By the way, greetings from Nashville. And they've got some problems over here, Chris Sasota. They got Democrats running everything. And yesterday, I had to stop in. I realized on my way in from Memphis, I drove to Nashville. I had forgotten some things, so I had to stop by the Walmart. And Salcedo, it was like I was walking into a maximum security prison. Even the dress socks were under lock and key behind a glass case.
Wow. Well, this is a trend in left-wing bastions where they don't believe in guarding merchandise. They set up these laws that say, hey, if you rip off $750 or $950 bucks worth of merchandise, we're not going to come prosecute you, these left-wing DAs. And what does that do? That inspires theft. And that's bankrupting a lot of people. So, well, at least they took steps to guard their merchandise. But, yeah, right, you can't even pick out some. I mean, what if you wanted to try something on?
Yeah, that was weird. So, fortunately, I just see the dress socks, but they had the boxer shorts under lock and key. That gets a little weird. But beyond that, Salcedo, the other big story coming out of here, and I was talking to a bunch of folks who live here, some business owners, they're having some financial difficulties. And, Chris, they are raising property taxes on business owners, small business owners. One guy who owns a place down on Lower Broadway, they raised his property tax this year by over $500,000.
Wow. Who do they think they are there, New York?
The problem is they've got so many people from New York moving to Nashville and California moving to Nashville. And unfortunately, Chris, it looks like they're packing all.
Oh, man. That stinks. By the way, Todd, you still with us? Because you broke out there the last second. Can you still hear me?
Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you, Todd. Can you hear me still?
My apologies. The Democrats, they don't even know how to run a phone system in Nashville.
No worries, dude. Look, I mean, you're right. It is terrible. And these individuals are driving entrepreneurship out of their cities, and they're taxing the living daylights out of the people. And what's sad is the people voted for it. They voted to have harm be brought upon them. Isn't that crazy?
You know, it is. And that's, you know, again, one of the nice things about coming to National Religious Broadcasters, our show operates in two different radio worlds. And it's so nice to be among so many like-minded people who are fighting the good fight you know, who are getting out there. And we have some exciting partnerships we're going to be announcing in the coming weeks. But it's been really a blessing to just get away for a day and do some fellowshipping with fellow broadcasters.
Any other headlines that you can share coming out of NRB?
Well, I know there are the faith-based movie world and TV world is really exploding, and there's some pretty exciting things happening. We had some good conversations with our friends over at Great American Television, and so we're going to be making some announcements there. But it's going to be a fun. I think it's going to be a fun couple of months for the Todd Stern Show.
Right on, right on. And well, that's good news. And speaking of media, I don't know how much you've been following this because you've been doing some other things, but I started telling the audience about this Colbert fabrication. Stephen Colbert, of course, has lost his show. He's leaving CBS. So what does he care about, you know, lying to the American people? He's a leftist after all. And then he invites somebody from my state running in the Democrat primary, this James Tallarico, and he gets cautioned by his attorneys saying, look, man, you got to offer some equal time to his competitor who just happens to be Jasmine Crockett. And instead of offering equal time to Jasmine Crockett, Colbert fabricates this intricate fantasy that it's all Trump's FCC's fault and that they suppressed the segment. And CBS is calling out Colbert for being a liar, and Crockett is calling out Tallarico and by extension, Senator James Murphy, or Chris Murphy, I should say, put this out on Twitter, basically saying that this was the Trump FCC, calling them out as well. Listen to Jasmine Crockett.
That is my understanding that the federal government didn't shut this down. And we will do an official statement once we get another official statement that we anticipate is going to be coming.
Now, she's at an airport. You're going to hear an airplane passing by here, Todd, so you're not going to be able to hear what she says. It's not going to be audible. But she continues to talk to them about what is actually happening. She's waiting for Paramount to issue a statement. And then after the plane clears, then you can actually hear what she says.
She may say something to them, and that there may have been advice to just have me on, and then they could clear the issue. It was my understanding that someone somewhere decided we just don't want to do that.
So the Colbert team would rather not invite the crazy left-wing whack job from Texas and have the fake white Christian on. And instead of admitting that and risking the running afoul of the law, they fabricated this crazy and trying to blame Trump's FCC for it. What's your take on this?
Well, I know a little something about this as the owner of a radio station, and this rule comes up every time there is an election. And there are rules and regulations that radio stations and TV stations have to follow when it comes to candidates. So that's why I knew, as soon as I heard the whole Colbert story, I knew it was just, that was a load of grade A hooey, if you will. And the reason why is, here's how it works. Colbert could have had Tallarico on, absolutely no issues whatsoever. However, at that moment, Jasmine Crockett, she could have gone to CBS and said, hey, we demand equal time. And under the longstanding FCC regulations that have been around long before Donald Trump became president, CBS would have to give her equal time. So if it was a seven-minute interview, Jasmine Crockett would have to get a seven-minute interview, but only if she raises the issue. So the network is under no obligation to go out and say, hey, we want to give you equal time. That's all on the candidate. And by the way, they have 7 days to ask, and if they don't do it within those 7 days, you have to start over again.
Yep, indeed, indeed. And that's exactly what has transpired here. And it just seems to me that Colbert being a left-winger, James Tallarico being a left-winger, Senator Chris Murphy being a left-winger, it's a Salcedo Show axiom. I don't know if you have a similar axiom. Leftists lie. They always lie, and that's what the country was just put through again by the left wing in this particular case. So, Todd, the National Religious Broadcasters Conference, Any other things you want folks to take away from your visit there and before we say adieu and get to a break here?
Well, you know, I'm one of these hosts. I hate being away from the microphone, but Chris, you're doing a great job. I know our audience loves you, and you're giving away stuff. That's even better. It's a great show, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. That's kind words coming from you. I am a big Todd Starnes fan, and, buddy, thank you very much for appearing on your very own show. That is very cool of you to do.
Thanks, Chris.
See you, buddy. All right. If you want to, by the way, we have a winner hanging on. We're going to talk to at the after we get through this break, folks. Todd Starnes Show, 901-260-5926. You want to weigh in on anything that we have talked about? I really would like to hear what you folks think about what's at stake in the primaries. Remember, it's a two-step process, folks. On the conservative side of the ledger, you and I have to rid ourselves of fake Republicans and what some of you would call rhinos, and because we know that the Democrats are voting for full-blown leftists and Marxists. So we must be rid of ineffective Republicans, right? How are you seeing, how are you approaching the primary season that we are entering in right now? Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Your calls next. Welcome back, everybody. You got the Todd Starnes Show. Chris Salcedo, your liberty-loving Latino, filling in. Glad to be here. Glad to be sharing the time with you. Telephone number for us is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let me get out to our winner, Janet, in Hendersonville, North Carolina, listening in on WHKP. Hey, Janet, congratulations on winning the book.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting read. Ronald Reagan, of course, one of my favorite presidents, and I think that there is, as some people in the traditional Republican Party don't want to admit, there are a lot of parallels between Ronald Wilson Reagan and President Trump. And I think one of the biggest parallels is how much they are hated by the left. Yes,
right. Yep. Right.
Well, hey, and you know what? Since you got a little extra spare change, you know, now, since you got a free book from the Todd Starnes Show, maybe you could check out The Rise of the Liberty-Loving Latino, my book, too, while you're at it.
Well, look, I do like listening to you on Newsmax.
Well, you know, that was a great time in my life. It was very fun to do that for the last 7 years. Of course, I don't know if you've heard, Janet, but I'm no longer with Newsmax.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. As a matter of fact, it was a month ago yesterday that my last day on Newsmax. So, look, I'm glad you're listening to Todd. I hope you can find me online, chrissalcedo.com, and you can find out where to see and hear me. Okay.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. Congratulations again, Janet, folks. Hendersonville, North Carolina, listening in on the great WHKP. Let's get out to Little Rock, Arkansas, KWAM, where Steve is calling in. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show with me, your liberty-loving Latino. What's up?
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Doing a good job today.
Thank you.
I wish I could have gotten in before you interviewed Attorney General Paxton, because I would have had a question for him.
Sure.
Why is he announcing a lawsuit against the hospital and doctors that, as he said, blatantly broke Texas law? No doubt they did it. Mutilation surgery on children. Why weren't he announcing indictments instead of lawsuits?
Yeah, I think it has something to do. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't even play one on TV, Steve, but my understanding is that the indictment slash maybe the indictment comes later. I don't think it's a criminal offense the way the law has been put here in the state of Texas. It's an administrative crime, not a criminal offense. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense, and I figured that's what it was. But
yeah,
just to put it in perspective, I did a quick search. And AI gave me right off the bat six different names in 2025 of tattoo artists that were arrested, criminally charged and arrested for giving tattoos to minors. But we cannot indict a doctor for doing mutilation surgery on a kid.
That's
part of the problem that's wrong with this country right now.
I think so too. No, I think you're right. I think it's our inability to see evil for what it is, crimes against children for what they are. And, it is. I think it's a serious problem, man. I really do.
And it goes both ways. It's the Democrats up there in Minnesota, they're just getting on television every day and saying that these ICE officers committed murder. Why aren't any of the Democrats on them? Well, if they committed murder, why aren't you in the indictment?
Why
aren't they on the mayor and the police chief and the attorney general of Minnesota for not doing their job?
And you know what? I think that our people have got to get a little more ticked off about this, to be honest with you, man. I think instead of, and we here in Texas, took a baby step toward getting rid of this. But I mean, this is, again, me not being a lawyer, so don't quote me on this, but I think it's how the law was written, and maybe we ought to criminalize these things. I mean, why don't, if we consider it child abuse, then why don't we call it child abuse and prosecute it like child abuse? That's, I think it's a fair question, and I'll ask next time I get some of our legal eagles on, man. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. All right, folks. We have a financial segment coming up here that the Todd Starnes crew put together for me. We're going to be visiting with Adam Martin, who's a financial advisor, and Chris Loftus, a financial services rep. We have a whole slew of information to talk to them about the U.S. economy, where we are, some things that the Trump administration putting out. But there's something I just put up on X, at C. Salcedo Show, at C. Salcedo Show. It's right under our tribute to the great Rush Limbaugh. And you're not going to believe it, kids. I can't play it for you on the radio. But our friend at Amuse on X, he has one of the largest conservative influencer accounts on X. He put up a video of three young boys, and they're standing in front of the classroom, and this is the quote. Are you ready? Ice watch. Students are being trained by union teachers to say blank ice, the F word. Now, I don't know how you Americans feel about this, so let me tell you how this American feels about it. We have money lifted from our pocket by these out-of-control, left-wing dominated ISDs. And we were told they were going to lift that money out of our wallet to educate children. But now the children are getting out on these protests. Now you've got children being trained to support an insurrection against the federal government. Is this what your money is supposed to be paying for? And if they want to do this kind of stuff, maybe we ought to stop paying. Todd Starnes Show rolls on with me, Chris Salcedo, next. Got the Todd Starnes Show, folks. You got me, Chris Salcedo, your liberty-loving Latino sitting in. Do not confuse me with loudmouth leftist Latinos out there. I actually love my country, love my state, the United States of America, and the great state of Texas, where I am broadcasting to you from today. You know, financial literacy, in a former life of mine, folks, I used to be a financial advisor for Primerica, which was at the time, the marketing arm for Citigroup. And what I found out in my year of being a financial advisor is how really illiterate Americans are on financial matters that directly impact their families. So I think this is why the Todd Starnes Show has committed to making sure that you folks have as much financial literacy as you could possibly get. To that end, we've got Adam Martin, financial advisor, and Chris Loftus, all the cool people in this world named Chris, is a financial services representative. Gentlemen, welcome to you both.
Hey, greetings and salutations from fabulous Memphis, Tennessee, over to Texas. Chris, we appreciate it. We're glad to be here.
It's great being with you, Chris.
Great to have you both. So let's start off with these Trump accounts. Adam, we're going to begin with you. What is a Trump account?
So that's a great question, and I'm glad that you started this with a lot of people in financial industry especially. There's just a lot of information that's not out there or they just don't know about. So this is our opportunity to talk about a really hot topic these days. So a Trump account at its core is just a tax-advantaged investment account created specifically for U.S. children under the age of 18. The account is legally owned by the child, but a parent or guardian serves as the custodian until the child reaches adulthood. And the purpose is just for long-term investing. The idea is to start building assets early in life, potentially from birth, and allow those assets to grow over time so that they're starting out life ahead of the curve, if you will.
And Chris, it's important to kind of add for some of the listeners out there, a lot of the listeners out there, that this discussion is purely for informational purposes only. You know, it's not individual tax advice or investment advice. There's a lot of new information coming out as this thing starts to get going, gets rolled out. And families should really consult their tax professional, a financial advisor, or their legal advisor before making any decisions because each situation is very unique.
It's different, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so,
and
yeah.
So, Chris, you know, on this score, because the Trump accounts, they make a lot of sense if you understand something called the Rule of 72. Explain the Rule of 72 to the folks and how starting early can make all the difference, you know, by the time you reach retirement age.
Right. Well, so ultimately, you want to get started early with anything when it comes to this. You want to be able to take responsibility for your financial future because, you know, one of the reasons why this is getting rolled out, you have a lot of people who are just now realizing, hey, wait a minute, what's the cost of affording a home? What's the cost of, you know, starting a family or affording even education? And so, I mean, Adam can explain the 72 and whatnot, so, but that's his forte. But it's important to kind of get this mindset out there for people when planning for their kids, just to give them a leg up once they get started as an adult.
Yeah, and Adam, you know, the Rule of 72, it's pretty basic, and it's based on traditional performance of savings and stock markets and rates of return, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the simple math formula to calculate it is how long does it take for my money to double at a fixed annual rate of return? And so when we talk about, like, the time value of money, these Trump accounts allow you to have more time, even if we're only earning a mild interest rate on our investment. You know, that gives us more time to double that asset. So, you know, getting back into how these Trump accounts are set up and how they're going to be funded, you know, you have to elect to have $1,000 contributed to this account. But if we never contributed to it and we earned a modest rate of return, how long would it take us to double that to $2,000? So with an 18-year runway, I feel pretty confident we can do
that. Yeah, absolutely. The rate of return divided into 72, folks, gives you the number of years it takes your money to double. And Mr. Loftus, about these accounts, is it just a savings account at a local bank? What is it?
No, so this is not a savings account at a local bank. This is a government vehicle specifically intended to grow funds for a child once they reach adulthood. Ultimately, when it comes, I mean, and one of the things that Adam was talking about earlier, so you have to elect to get into this thing, right? So it's this is part of what's being referred to as a federal pilot contribution. So obviously children born between January 1st of 2025 and December 31st of 2028 can qualify for a one-time $1,000 federal contribution. But, and this is critical, it's not automatic. And so parents or guardians must affirmatively elect to receive the $1,000 when establishing the account. If that election is not made properly, the account may still open, but the $1,000 won't be deposited. So paperwork here matters.
Got it. Adam, about who qualifies? Is it means tested? Is it only for certain income level families, or can everybody join in?
So here's the basic guidelines for the Trump account. So here's the criteria. The primary criteria is that you must be a U.S. citizen. The child must be under age 18. And the child must have a valid Social Security number. And much is what Chris was explaining. This is not something that automatically happens. You have to work with your CPA or whoever you have or helps you with your taxes, elect to file an IRS form, which is IRS form 4547. And on that form, you're going to say, yes, I want to be signed up for a Trump account. And yes, I do want the $1,000 pilot contribution. So the guidelines there, valid U.S. citizen under age 18 with a valid Social Security number.
And an important distinction about this, before age 18, it functions as a long-term growth account under custodial oversight, right? So once the beneficiary reaches 18, the tax treatment follows a very traditional IRA-style rules, meaning earnings are taxed upon withdrawal, and certain early withdrawals can be subject to penalties and all that fun jazz, depending on how they're used. For example, if the beneficiary is under 59.5, penalties will apply unless a standard IRA exception applies. So, you know, for example, disability, certain medical expenses, et cetera. Yeah, all that stuff. But it's also important to note that distributions are generally prohibited until age 18, with exceptions being rollovers, excess contributions, death, or even ABLE account rollovers. So at a high level, this is a long-term investment account for kids that transitions into an IRA-style account at adulthood.
Got it. Adam Martin is a financial advisor, and Chris Loftus is a financial services rep. The guest right here on the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo. So, gentlemen, I don't know if I got a I got an answer to this. So, Adam, is everybody qualified? Is every American? So there are no income level qualifications, right? Every American is eligible to open up one of these.
Yeah, and that's going back to those three criteria of being under 18, the U.S. citizen, the Social Security number. It's important to say that under the IRS guidelines, eligibility is just based on that the child and those parameters that I laid out. It's not on the parent's income. So if you fall within those parameters, or your household falls within those parameters, this is something that you're eligible for, and have a conversation with your tax advisor and ask them about accessing the IRS Form 4547 so that they can get it filed, get the account established, and then elect to have the $1,000 contribution.
Sweet. Well, Chris, I mean, So it is. You can do this when you get your taxes done. Is that the enrollment process, or because I can already see the American people's eyes glazing over, saying, you know, this is going to be a mountain of paperwork, and it's only $1,000, and I don't know if it's worth all the hassle. Is it just checking that box on the IRS form? Is that as simple as it is?
Well, so like I said earlier, paperwork here definitely matters. So you want to make sure you're getting the right form. So Adam already said it's IRS Form 4547. There's paperwork when it comes to anything in the financial world, when it comes to the IRS, right? And nobody likes to do that. But once you're able to get that account set up, and this is something we've seen confusion around this point, families may assume that the government just deposits that money automatically. And that's just not the case. I mean, the election must be made at the time the account is established. And so establishing the account is just the first step. So once you establish it, then you have to go ahead and go in and manually elect to receive the $1,000 contribution.
Well, okay, wait, hold on. Let me stop there. Go in where?
So, yeah, that is one thing that is going to be continuing to roll out as these things proceed. So as of right now, it looks like the Department of the Treasury will be managing it. At this time, now there will be a couple other things that we'll be looking for when it comes to who can manage these things, whether it's a private family advisor or if you're comfortable with having the government manage it and the whatever fund it is currently placed in.
Well, that's a very good, you know, to think about what is this invested in. You asked earlier about, is this a simple savings account? And no, it's not. This is an investment account. So what would we be investing in? Well, from the original guidance that came out, that these would be invested primarily in eligible investments for low-cost index mutual funds, ETFs, whose underlying securities or companies are composed predominantly with U.S.-based companies. All investments must meet the criteria established by the U.S. Treasury Department. So there's your guidelines. So okay. I think that's really good. Obviously, keeping costs down is going to have an opportunity for a better performance. It won't have a high fee that's dragging on the performance long term. So those low-cost ETFs is a great investment vehicle. But as more literature rolls out and we start to hone these accounts even more, right, then that's going to open up the opportunity for your own personal financial advisor to think through the best strategy. Obviously, we don't have to manage everything. We can also look at what you're invested in and give you some guidance on it. So this is, at its core, a great opportunity, not just a stimulus check. This is an investment opportunity for the youth in our country.
Right. Well, okay, so I'm with you on that. Before I get into, you know, contribution limits, because as everybody knows, whether you're in a SEP IRA, a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, there are contribution, maybe not Roth IRA, but there are contribution limits. We'll get into that probably after the break. But before we go to the break, I do want to ask you both this question, because I think a lot of Americans are thinking, okay, wait a minute. Right now, Social Security, they take money out of my out of my pocket, Social Security, and the government manages it. And of course, what do? They frittered it away. It's gone. We should have kept our own money in our pockets. Who administers this account and whose name is it in, Adam?
So this will be an account that is established from the U.S. Treasury Department that, like I said, will be invested into low-cost investment vehicles. It is the child's account. And this is where I would say, Chris, professional guidance means everything mm-hmm. here. So as you elect to get these accounts established and you mm-hmm. get the contribution, this is imperative now where, okay, I have this account. Who do I talk to? How do I make sure that this is being invested the right way based on their parameters? That's where we come in. That's where we work with our clients and say, all right, here's what we expected. Here's how it's performing. Do we need to pivot? And as I said earlier, there's going to be more literature that comes out on this. This is a very high-level preliminary thing that is, I think, great for the country, mm-hmm. Especially for those that are looking to do something for their kids long-term, and they're not restricted to 529 parameters or Uniform Transfer to Minor Act parameters. They're very similar, but this is just one more thing to really help mm-hmm. get the youth generated.
529s, folks, are for college accounts to help your kids save for college. I did it for all three of my children. So Chris, you understand my concern here is,
right.
is I don't want the government managing money, especially if I'm going to be contributing to this thing, and we'll get to that in the other side of the break. Mm-hmm. I don't want government managing it. I want our people managing
fully
it.
Fully understand. Yeah, and the ultimate thing that comes down to this is that, you said, I'll answer one of your earlier questions again. So this form, the 4547 form, can be filled or filed along with any federal income tax return or separately, and entirely depending on the IRS instructions. So that's why it's important for the listeners out there that there will likely be an administrative process accompanying the rollout of this program. And families should follow very closely the IRS guidance, like as carefully as you can, because that's where you're going to see these new options that come out, how this can be managed, who can manage it. And also, you can establish an account by using the online portal that will more than likely be made available this summer. And I believe that's going to be at trumpaccounts.gov. But again, reading the fine print and making sure you're paying attention to the literature that's already out there is going to be the best move for you if you want to make sure you're having a more hands-on approach in this.
Yeah, and let's hope it runs better than the Obamacare website when it launched. Okay, so folks, on the other side of the break, what are the annual contribution limits, if any, on these accounts? What about employers? Do they have any role in all of this? We will talk and ask those questions of Adam Martin. He's a financial advisor. And Chris Loftus, financial services rep, on the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo, on the other side. Be right back. Folks, you got the Todd Starnes Show and me, Chris Salcedo, and we're talking about Trump accounts with Adam Martin, financial advisor, and Chris Loftus, financial services rep. And when guys, the big question I think is on everybody's minds is, okay, how much can you contribute? Because depending on the investment vehicle, we've been used to been formed into this country into accepting limits on contributions to certain accounts. So Adam, are there annual contribution limits to the Trump accounts?
There are annual contribution limits, just like you were mentioning earlier, for your traditional IRAs and your Roth IRAs. There is a limit that comes with these accounts as well. And that total contribution limit is $5,000 per child, and this is important too, from all sources combined. So that means if grandparents contribute, parents contribute, or perhaps an employer contributes, all that combined cannot exceed $5,000 for the year.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, what about the employers? Do the employers have any role in contributing to these accounts?
Yes, that's actually a great question, Chris. So employer contributions, they can contribute up to $2,500 per employee per year, and that they are permitted to do that. And those contributions count towards the $5,000 annual cap. Now, just some clarification for the listeners out there, that's $2,500 per employee, regardless of how many children the employee has with Trump accounts. So that's just another key clarification. I just thought about this. The $1,000 federal pilot contribution does not count towards that $5,000 annual
limit.
Good. So it's just another thing to think about when you're looking into these accounts. But a good way to look at it is there are two buckets, right? You have an exempt bucket and you have a non-exempt bucket, and those standing for contributions. The pilot program funding is considered exempt, which means it is not included in the $5,000 annual limit. So if a qualifying child receives $1,000 in federal contributions, the family could still contribute up to that $5,000 a year.
Gotcha.
But non-exempt contributions count towards either the $5,000 annual aggregate cap and, you know, including other sources like the beneficiary, their parents.
All right, guys, got a couple of minutes left, but I want to get these last two questions in. So, Adam, when can a child actually start accessing this money? At what age?
So when this child turns 18, what happens to this account is that it starts to follow the traditional IRA rules. So talking about like early distributions before 59 and a half, they could be subjected to a 10% penalty on top of realizing some ordinary income. But there are some exceptions, first-time home buyers. We have a disability where we need to access those money. So there are some exceptions that can be made there. But at 18, they are allowed to have access to this account. Mm-hmm. And what we like to think of that is this is an opportunity for them to realize, oh, I've got some money and I need to be responsible. So that's a good opportunity for them to work with a professional and say, what should I do with these dollars?
Right.
And we'll explain all that to them.
Yeah, and Chris, you know, as you can hear, my skepticism of any type of government program,
right.
I'm really not big into that. But just looking at this thing from 30,000 feet up, do you think that the Trump accounts is a good thing?
Well, obviously, we're going to see more and more information come out about this as this gets rolled out, and we will be the ones reading the fine print on it to be able to make a calculated, coordinated recommendation per each person's individual situation, right? Everybody is coming from a different situation. There's going to be qualified opportunities to use these accounts, though, and that's where, you know, you have to use judgment. I mean, they can be used for a qualified higher education expense, a first-time home purchase, certain qualified small business or startup-related expenses. So there's a lot of opportunities out there, and again, as this thing starts to get rolled out and more legislature gets passed, more literature gets published, we're going to be on the front lines making sure we're looking at all the angles, making sure.
Cool. Adam Martin, folks, financial advisor, Chris Loftus, financial services rep. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate the time on the Todd Starnes Show.
Thank you,
pleasure.
Chris.
Pleasure.
All right, guys. Chris Salcedo out. Todd Starnes, thank you so much for asking me to fill in, man. Can't wait to talk to you guys again next time.